Hi, everybody. This is Jason.
This is Pete.
And this is the Lost Legions podcast. And what are we here to talk to you today about, Pete?
How the hell do you get into Horus Heresy?
I don't know. We should find two people that know, and then we can go ask them.
Yeah, we had a question come in, didn't we, from a listener, James Usmar. Thank you very much for messaging the show with a topic for us to get into.
Sorry if we butchered your name, by the way.
yeah, definitely. Yeah, probably he's like, who's Usmar? Yeah. And James in particular is coming from 40K, apparently quite a big player for 40K, and wants to know some tips into getting into Heresy. So we thought we'd do a show on it.
Well, I mean, I think first maybe it might be wise for us to kind of talk about how we got into Heresy. So strangely enough, which isn't a surprise to Pete because I just thought of this as not actually on the notes. So I'm like, think on your feet. So I got back into Heresy back in 1.0 days. In the beginning, I actually got in because I wanted to play a head 30K themed army in 40K.
Right.
So Johnny, my old co-host from the Overlords, and I both got into it at the same time. He did Death Guard and I did Space Wolves. And at the time, we were both super excited about it. And we just kind of started buying some Heresy minis. It was all basically resin at that point.
Yeah.
And we would theme some of our armies. I used a lot of 40K bits. He used a lot of 40K bits. And strange fact, my very first game was actually with some of the designers up at Warhammer World, and I didn't have a 30K army, and I took Johnny's Death Guard. And I remember them asking, why do the Death Guard have jump packs? And someone's like, oh, it's because it was a 40K army he used for 30K, because everyone did the reaping at that point.
Was this on a Black Library weekender? So that weekend?
No, it was just where I went up to Warhammer with my buddy Carl, and he was friends with some of them. So like we went and visited them, and like that was one of my first games playing 30K. But I just remember like I didn't have an entire army, and Johnny had this entire painted army. So like I had to take his army, and I ended up playing with the Death Guard guy, and it was really fun. And from then on, I was like hooked. Like I started into my Space Wolves. I got them all ready to go. I actually had 40K rhinos, so the Mars pattern rhinos at that point, because I wasn't fully converted, but I had a lot of the troops.
Yeah.
And the Terminators and stuff were all Forge World. And I just started playing and I just fell in love with it. And I've never looked back. Pete, how did you get into 30K?
Yeah, I guess kind of similar. I rediscovered 40K in 6th edition, going into 7th. Then just started getting interested into the idea of Horus Heresy. The Kalf box set came out, so that was a big thing. So, you know, we'll talk a bit more in a moment about getting into it today, right, based on the model range in 2023. But back then, it was all resin, as you were just saying, Jay, so I felt it was a bit of a stopping point for me getting into it. Then the Kalf set came out, and that's when I hit the trigger. I had a few friends get into it at the same sort of time. I think it was really around when I met you as well, to be fair. There was a few like a little extended group of friends sort of was forged, and Heresy was kind of a new hot topic then, wasn't it? So we were all getting into it. But I think the key thing is here is the fact that we both played 40K is the reason why we got into 30K, right? I think it would be interesting to see how many players are getting into 30K now just from jumping straight into the hobby. I'd imagine not an awful lot, right? I imagine a lot of players would have played 40K first or another Games Workshop game before jumping into Heresy.
I wonder if it's confusing. Now, I'm just thinking as a brand new player, right?
Yeah.
Because like you're all, what is the difference? This both says Warhammer. So what is the difference? Like, and I could see that being a slight pitfall, which is probably why the branding is so different, and probably why they keep part of the reason why they keep it so separate.
Agreed.
I can kind of see the confusion there. So, I mean, like, you know, the best way to kind of get around that is to stick with any, you know, 30K branded product and not pick up anything that has to do with 40K. There's pretty much no crossover.
Yeah.
For the most part, there is some, right? And there's some 40K stuff that actually works fluff-wise in 30K. But if you just stick to the 30K branded stuff, I'm just saying, if you want to get into this,
yeah,
and you're looking at, like, what do I buy? Basically, anything, any of the new plastic kits will work for you. Anything that, you know, in, that comes in a 30K box will work for 30K for sure.
Yeah.
There's very few things nowadays in the Space Marine range that work directly out of the box. 40K Space Marine range, I mean, for 30K.
Yeah, so, since the Primaris change, which happened, what, 3, 4, 5 years back now, however long ago it was. It's all quite a bit of a change, isn't it? So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think if you're coming over from 40K, it's probably appropriate to approach it from the lore perspective. Would you agree, Jay? Would you say that's a good, like, way to get yourself involved and lost in it a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, so I think part of the cool thing is because the fluff has this inbuilt narrative, right? So, like, you always have, like, a reason for your games, right? So the fluff itself is compelling. Like, it's traitor versus loyalist, and it's an inbuilt narrative. And, yeah, like, that, I mean, so Pete, you run a lot of events. Like, how do you pick up and run with this? Because you've designed a lot of missions, you've done a lot of events.
Yeah, I mean, I've only ever ran traitor versus loyalist, right? You know, good versus evil, sort of thing. And it really helps to drive home that feel. It's a great setting to start a new project, because it's very easy to be like, I'm going to do this force at this point of the war. They were doing this. These guys were here and they were in this armor and I'm going to do that, right, for example. Equally, it's quite fun to be like, I'm going to do a, you know, make-believe, not lore-specific force that was stationed in XYZ sector and they only rode on jet bikes because they were a, like, lost legion of, not the lost legions, obviously, but they were a lost, a part of their legion is what I meant to say. You know, who went traitor or went loyal, and you can run away with it. I think the key thing, which makes the lore setting so fun, is that we know the ending, right? We know the outcome. So by knowing the outcome, it allows us to play within the parameters of it. And I think with my flip on 40K is, although the storyline is advancing, and to be honest, I'm not up to speed with it that much anymore because I've not got much of an interest in it. It just feels too open-ended with all the different races. It doesn't feel like they all belong in the same battle, even maybe the same universe sometimes, was kind of how I came away from it. Yeah, I think that's sort of the differences, I guess.
I think you hit on something that really kind of drives me to build some of my armies, right? Because you can decide, you can riff on some existing actual fluff and make your own, right? But the war, the conflict's so wide and everything is so broad. And there were so many Space Marines. You could make your own company of guys that were specialists at doing something, that have a slightly different armor, like, markings than everyone else, right? Like, you know, just for example, the Ultramarines destroyer guys have all black armor with the shoulder pads, right? You could do an alternate paint scheme like that for your guys, theme them. And I think instead of, like, getting resistance, you'll get people going like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, people really, if you kind of edit the lore within the fluff, if that makes sense, people get really excited about it. Because I think people really like the narrative of loyalist versus traitor. People, the Heresy players really dig that. So, like, anyone who kind of takes it and runs with it, like, does tend to get a lot of kudos, right? Like, it's some of the coolest armies I've seen are like that. Like, I mean, and just this is the point where, like, I've seen Ultramarines, like, destroyer armies like that.
Yeah.
And they look so cool. They look so cool. And you're just like, oh, this is amazing. I need an army like this. Or like you pointed out, an all jet bike list or something. Go ahead.
Yeah, it allows you to theme it, right? And I think the lore itself is the main reason why it drives you to it. It's so tight compared to 40K. I mean, Horus versus Sanguinius and then, you know, being thrown down by the Emperor, that's canon from like late 80s, isn't it? I think, or early 90s. It's like been around forever. Yeah. And you now look at the Horus Heresy Black Library series, the Siege of Terror series of books. There is so much background information and just storytelling and world setting that it's so easy to get lost within it and, you know, pick a force. And because it's for the most part, Space Marines and Space Marines, it's really easy to identify with the characters as well, because you kind of have this baseline of what they are and then their legions sort of push them in one way or another, rather than trying to relate to a Tau Fire Warrior, right? Or trying to relate to an Elder Guardian. You're not trying to get them. Are they even called Elder anymore? They're not called Elder anymore, are they? They're called something else now.
There's a couple of running Eldar.
We
call him Eldar on this channel.
I'm showing my age on the 40K.
Get off my space lawn. They're called Eldar. No, I agree with what Pete's saying. And I think that, like, you know, a good thing he's pointing out is there's a great range of books and fluff. And like, there's this amazing story that like shows the fall of half of these Space Marine legions, their corruption, and their like, you know, degradation, and, you know, the amazing noble stories of these guys who are standing against them. And there's something there for everybody to kind of latch onto and sort of, you know, get into building your army. Really quick, I just want to switch subjects off the fluff and just talk about, like, there's some really cool painting reasons to choose your army and some really cool rules reasons to choose your army. So, I mean, like, if you like certain colors or you want to paint certain colors, the legions represent all of this.
Yes. And then, yeah, good point.
The other thing I was going to say, and I'll throw this to you after I do this point and you can talk about this, is that there are a bunch of different rules and each legion kind of plays very differently. And there's almost a play style to fit everybody in that. How do you feel about that? And do you have an expansion on any of that?
Yeah, so I completely agree, actually. I think if you were to introduce someone who has played tabletop war games before, but not Warhammer, which would be quite rare, I imagine, anyway, the ability just to pick up Horus Heresy, learn the core list, the core army list, and then experiment and see the flavors of the different adaptations of that list is very compelling. It's very evident, right? It's very obvious as to how it works, as opposed to learning an entirely new race every time and trying to weigh up all the differences of all these races. I think you're right, Jay. I think you can still get the flavor of something different, but the core, once you've learned it, you know it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the Space Marine units are the same, but like with the Legion rules and their special units, some of them will play completely different. Like you get the Raven Guard play completely different than like the White Scars, which play completely different than the Night Lords, which play completely different than the
Imperial Iron Fists Warriors, or whatever, right?
Like, yeah. 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 Exactly. And so, like, you know, I think the only danger with that is that, you know, you might have to do a little bit of research. If you like to do fast moving, I mean, anyone can do anything, but some of them do it better.
Yes.
But like if you want to do fast moving jet bikes, you probably want to play White Scars. If you want to do infiltrating sneaky dudes, you probably want to do Raven Guard, right?
Yeah. Like,
but everybody can do everything.
So it's not so much about, you know, if you're like, where do I start? What legion do I choose? Go for the colors that you like. And go for the background story that you like. Those are probably the two things first. Because unless you're looking to go to competitive tournaments and stuff like that, picking the more competitive legions should be down on the list, unless it is your goal to win games, right? And win tournaments. Then, yeah, go for the top tier legions. And we've done loads of videos talking about all the top legions and the top units in legions and all that sort of stuff. So go check out all our top 5 videos if you wanted to. We'll link them in the at the bottom. of the show in the show notes. However, just focusing on the aesthetic of the army and the overall feel of the army, and to a degree, the play style of the army, I think is the most important thing, because they all have the same readily available kits now, excluding the specialist troops, right? So you've got, okay, we don't have plastic assault marines. We don't have, you know, but we got some good plastic stuff now, right? It's coming, apparently.
This was the last point that I actually wanted to bring up too and talk about, was like, now a reason to get into Heresy is because a lot of the units are in plastic. But as Pete hinted, there are a couple of key ones that are still not out yet, but should be coming hopefully at the beginning of next year.
Yeah. So if you like your tanks, Heresy's the game for you.
It's easier to get into. There's amazing, you know, there's amazing plastic Terminators, amazing basic troops. We are missing a couple key troop units, but you know, they've been promised to us and they're coming out, so it should be good. But I think it's a very good time to get into Heresy. There's really cool character models coming out from Forge World, and you know, things, we've had steady releases. Pete, you know, is there anything you could think about that? What would you say about getting into Heresy? What are your key tips for buying, like actually purchasing an army?
Purchasing.
Yeah, what would you do?
You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with the Age of Darkness box set, really.
No,
I don't know if it's particularly good value anymore, because you can buy a lot of it on eBay. But if we're ignoring that, if we're looking at, you're completely new to this world, you don't know anything about it, you're gonna go into a Games Workshop and you're gonna buy some models, right? You pick up that box set, and you might even paint them up on the box, and half Sons of Horus, half Imperial Fists, and play some games with a buddy or a partner or whatever the situation is. And that's a great way to get into it, right? It's obviously how the game's been designed to get into it. But I think that'd be a great shout. I think, you know, buying some more Tactical Marines, buying a Dreadnought or two would be, you know, good, and give you a good list as well at that point. Any of the plastic tanks are good fun to experiment with now.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of good options before even having to go on the Forge World or, you know, whatever. And this is, you know,
and even just basic troops, the Terminators and the Contemptors, which are plastic, do work. And yeah, they are great units.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely. You know, you'd pick up, I wouldn't recommend picking up both army books. I'd pick up, if we're focusing on Legions here, I'd pick up just the Traitor or the Loyalist one. I mean, that's the other thing as well. You know, you get essentially 9 armies worth of rules in one book. Now, there ain't a lot of other GW games that do that, is there? So, you know, you've got, and it's a curse really, because you'll be like dead set on doing a Imperial Fists army, and then you'll flick through and think, oh no, you're right, this is the best army in the rules, so I'm not going to look at any of them. I'm joking. You'd look, flick through and you'd see you know, the Ultramarines or the Blood Angels, and you start thinking, oh, actually, well, I can do that, because you've got the rules there, and then you get a bit excited.
100%. Like, yeah.
So it's kind of,
I wonder what this weapon does.
It's kind of a gift and a curse at the same time, right? I wouldn't recommend looking at the additional armies, like the Sisters of Silence, the Custodes, the Militia. I wouldn't look at those from a starting point if you're looking to get into
Heresy. That's a really good point. I will say, unless that's the thing that brings you to Heresy.
I think a lot of Custodes players come over from that reason, right? I think that's a big bridge, realistically, because those models work in both games. Yep. And it's a cheap into in the game, I guess, in 40k, because they're super elite. I'm assuming that you don't have to buy a lot of them and you don't have to paint a lot of them up. So it's probably a good army that you get into if you're just playing war games, you know, revisiting war games or whatever. That's probably a good army to get into war games in general.
That is the one army that actually goes back and forth between the two of them. Some of the 40k units do not work in 30k necessarily, though. I will warn you, like the jet bikes don't actually.
Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah, I haven't looked at them really.
You could possibly make the Terminators work, but you might have to like kind of do a little conversion for them, the plastic ones. There are Forge World ones, but like the plastic actual troop models are super easy and go back and forth between both. But yeah, I mean, mainly the army will flip over. I actually have, my 40k army is a Custodes army. So I always forget. I'm always like, oh, I guess technically I have a Custodes army in 30K, but I never use it in 30K. I always use it when I play 40K with my friends that want to play 40K.
But I think you'll get most from the game on all aspects if you focus on doing a Legion force. The game is very clearly built around them. They are probably the strongest list out of all of them, I would argue. And it should be. This is like their pinnacle of their, the whole reason why this war is going absolutely crazy, right? They're the main driving force of this war. The militia list, you know, not to do a review here or anything, but there are no direct models. It's very much more for the creator to make some models or, you know, use some third-party miniatures. And you're getting into a whole other realm of modeling opportunities, and that's great. But if you're, as the video topic was, how do I get into 30K? It's not going to be like, oh, build a militia cavalry army, right? You're not going to recommend that.
It is doable, though.
It's 100% doable.
The militia list is very flexible, and like, if I don't want to discourage people who want to get into 30K, who don't want to play Space Marines. There are options for you. There are militia. There is Mechanicum, which is very, very interesting, but like, I don't know how starter friendly they are, right? Like, I think Space Marines, kind of, I guess another thing that Pete's kind of hinting at is that they're not as friendly, like starter friendly, but they have some really cool models and some really interesting rules, but they might not be as easy to use. They're not as powerful as they were in 1.0 for sure, but no. I think they're still pretty good.
And the Marines are easier to paint, right? They're easy to paint. You've likely painted them before if you've played a Warhammer game. Right, you know, you might not have painted some Mechanicum before, or might struggle with the skin tones on Militia or Sisters of Silence or whatever the situation is. But at least I know I do with my Emperor's Children. I can rattle cannon purple, wash them, and then add some metals, and they're done. Right, that's how I approach
terrible
it.
Terrible painting skin. I don't know.
We are not a painting podcast. That is for sure.
No, I remember Sluggo. R.I.P. Sluggo.
And on that note. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Jay, before we go into explaining Sluggo? Yeah.
If you have any more questions, let me know. I'll try to get Pete to put a picture of Sluggo if he still exists.
Oh, God.
And 1.0 Sluggo, 2.0 Sluggo is a dashing lad who had a head swap to save him.
Sluggo has been deleted from the archives, I think. Yeah.
1.0 Sluggo was an incredible beast.
I sent a picture of my Emperor's Children Praetor. I tried to make a Sonic Streaker warp twisted head, demon head. And I didn't know what I was doing with the flesh. And I sent a picture to Jason. And Jason, who's the nicest guy in the world, never say anything bad about anything, went, ah, Sluggo. I'm like, oh, all right. Because he had these big googly eyes. Anyway, peace. That's it, I think. Give it a like, give it a subscribe, share it, love it. We'll catch you next one.
Long live Sluggo.